Well, hello and welcome to this live telephone town hall meeting with Star Valley Health. Right now we're dialing out to about 4,600 homes in western Wyoming, so hang tight on the line with us and I'll get you up to speed on how you can participate in this live forum with Star Valley Health. Today we'll be starting out by giving you a quick update on our services and what we're doing to manage some financial challenges we're experiencing. And our featured speakers will be Dan Ordina, our CEO, and other Star Valley Health leaders. But we will spend most of this forum answering your questions after some quick updates. So if you already have a question in mind for our Star Valley Health leadership on the line with us today, press 7. Get that question to an operator. They'll take some notes on your question. And we'd love to hear from you live if you're comfortable asking your question live. But if you prefer to have me read your question over the air instead, that's perfectly fine. Just let your operator know when you submit your question what your preference is. And again, you can press 0 at any time to submit a question for Q&A. And if you're interested in registering for future Star Valley Health teletown halls like this one, you can go to tthm.com/starvalley, tthm.com/starvalley. That'll direct you to the registration page, and you can also sign up for email updates from Star Valley on that registration page, or you can simply sign up for email updates during this call by pressing 7 to speak to an operator. Now, this call is being recorded. In a couple days, you'll be able to listen to it at starvalleyhealth.org. You can share it with your family, friends, or neighbors who aren't able to join the call. Again, that website will be starvalleyhealth.org. And we are just about finished dialing out to about 4,600 of your neighbors in western Wyoming. Whether you have any questions or not, stay tuned. Listen to our updates and questions from your neighbors. And remember that you can press 0 to submit a question for Q&A at any time. You can press 7 to give us your email address for updates. And you can also press 7 to get phone numbers for the billing department, the quality of care department, or the scheduling department. Here to introduce our topics is Dan Ordina, Star Valley Health CEO. Dan, what do our listeners need to know before we start taking questions?
Thank you, Ian, and good afternoon, everyone. And thank you again for joining our town hall meeting. My name is Dan Ordina. I'm the CEO at Star Valley Health. We hope that these town hall meetings can be held on a regular basis to provide updates and education to all of our communities that we serve. It's also very important to me to tackle issues facing our organization head on and provide transparency as well as try to address the issues that you are facing as a valued patient and community member. I'm joined today, like Ian said, by several individuals from our team at Star Valley Health. They're going to help answer your questions this afternoon. In the hour that we have together, we'll try to get to as many questions as we possibly can. If we're unable to answer your questions, we're going to also try to follow up with you as soon as possible after the call. Star Valley Health has seen tremendous growth over the last 4 years. We've recruited over 25 providers to the organization, including, for example, OBGYN, cardiology, interventional cardiology, orthospine, anesthesiology, emergency room physicians, primary care, and several other specialties. We have plans for even more services in the future. And our objective is to keep healthcare closer to home here in Wyoming. We greatly appreciate your support, and we are committed to our purpose of providing compassionate care to every person, every time. Over the last 3 years since the COVID outbreak, Star Valley Health has financially performed very well. We have added 200 new jobs, and we've been able to provide significant increases in compensation to every position over this time period. However, this current fiscal year has been our first big challenge. There are primarily three reasons why we're experiencing this challenge right now. First, like many of you, we have experienced a very sizable rise in our employees' healthcare costs. Star Valley Health is a self-insured, meaning we're the insurance company for our own healthcare expenses. And this year, we will have paid $4 million more in claims for our employees than we did last year. That represents a 50% increase in 1 year. Second, We opened a beautiful 10,000-square-foot expansion in Alpine this past January with an emergency room, two operating rooms, which includes a cardiac catheterization lab. Any person who has started a new business or has opened a new location, you know that it takes quite a while for revenue to catch up to your startup costs and to break even. And we are experiencing the same. We've experienced higher labor costs than we originally expected with this project. Lastly, we recently discovered an error in our software mapping between our accounting system and our electronic medical record system that resulted in an overstatement of our income by $3.5 million. When we learned of this error, we immediately disclosed it and addressed it. When you combine these three challenges together, we needed to immediately pause our growth initiatives and assess our cash position. Over the past 45 days, our teams at Star Valley Health have worked tirelessly to implement various action plans to manage the financial risk. As of today, we have over 60 days of cash on hand, which means that if the hospital had no revenue coming in, we could operate for 60 days. Also, our operational earnings remains positive through the first 9 months of this fiscal year. We are starting to see signs that our situation is beginning to stabilize. However, there is more to do with our billing and collecting processes, and we're currently working with our teams to implement these and other operational changes. With this backdrop, I want to sincerely thank the communities that we serve for the long-standing relationship that we have together. We understand that what we do at Star Valley Health impacts all of you. Our teams have accomplished some amazing things, but we want to be the first to acknowledge that there are many mistakes that we've made in our journey. Please know that we feel terrible when we disappoint you and we don't meet your expectations. We're trying to learn from these mistakes and improve on them. So thank you for your patience. Now, we would like to spend the remainder of our town hall answering your questions. Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, thank you, Dan, and thanks to those of you who have joined us. We've already got some questions that those of you who registered for this event have submitted in advance, and we'll be taking questions from Haley and Sandra first here, but if you'd like to register for future Star Valley Health teletown halls like this one, you can visit tthm.com/Star Valley. If you submit a billing question today or if you submitted one through our registration page, we'll do our best to answer it live, but we may also flag you for follow-up from our billing department, and those we flag for follow-up can expect a call from Star Valley Health in the next few business days to resolve whatever issue you raise with us. So if you do have any questions in mind, press zero to get those to us now, and we'll start taking questions right away with a couple coming from Haley and Sandra. Haley asks, I'd like to understand more about the decision to terminate Cigna Insurance. And Sandra asks, I was told you may not renew your acceptance as a provider for Cigna. Dan, you want to take these ones on for Haley and Sandra?
Yeah, thank you. So over the last 18 months, we have been negotiating with all of our major payers, the big insurance companies that we work with our hospital. And they are Blue Cross, Blue Shield of Wyoming, Aetna, United Healthcare, and Cigna. And over these last 18 months, we have come to agreements with three of the four. And the other three large payers understand that, you know, in our particular location, with the inflationary factors that all of us are experiencing with labor, with supplies, it's become very essential that we have strong relationships with our payers so that they understand what our costs are and what we're trying to accomplish, and they can reimburse us for the services that we are providing. Unfortunately, we have not been able to get an agreement with Cigna, and it really has turned into an impasse. And so we have let Cigna know that we need to terminate our existing agreement with the intention that from now until July 1st, we're hoping that we can come to some type of agreement. I know that the letters that we've sent out to patients that could be impacted by this decision create some anxiety, and we feel that anxiety. We know that you care greatly about having your providers and access to your providers, but the only way that we could take the negotiation to a level where we felt it was important for them to understand is this termination notice. Our full intent is to see if we can get an agreement in place before July 1 of this year, and we're very hopeful that that we can. I don't like to publicly try to point fingers at our insurance companies. They are our partners, but there certainly are some pressure points that they feel. And that they understand our pressure points as we go through this negotiation. So that really is the main reason why we have come to this step. Is it's our responsibility to make sure that we feel like we're getting fairly compensated. Three of the four major payers have understood our arguments and they agree with us, and we're still trying to accomplish that objective with Cigna.
Got it. Thank you, Dan, and appreciate those first couple of questions from Haley and Sandra. Our next one comes from Kenzie, and seeing it from plenty of others who are asking, and I'll kind of read a summary here for you, Dan. I've heard that you cut back EMS services in the Valley. I'm worried that I won't be able to get emergency help when I need it. Should I be concerned? What are you doing to make sure we're covered in an emergency? And again, that comes from Kenzie and several of other web registrants and listeners today.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and let me just provide a little backdrop before I hand this off to Trevor and maybe Dr. Kirk and Mike Hunsaker. First and foremost, when I arrived in the Valley in 2021, our EMS system was struggling with identifying volunteers and responding to calls in a timely manner. And we want to be part of the solution to a healthcare delivery system. And so we decided that, hey, we should, as a responsible healthcare provider, take on this financial risk and try to elevate the training for paramedics and EMTs and provide the equipment that they need in a very difficult rural environment. And I would say that our EMS providers are exceptional. I would put them up against anybody EMS system in the state. It is a service that is struggling mightily all throughout Wyoming and other states because the reimbursement is so low compared to the cost to operate it. It's a 24/7 operation. There has to be staffing all around the clock, and we feel like this is an important service to the Valley. And so with that backdrop, let me turn it over to Trevor and Dr. Kirk and Mike Hunsaker for some comments.
Thanks, Dan. This is Trevor Merritt with Star Valley Health, and I'm the Vice President of Human Resources and Support Services. And in 2022, like Dan mentioned, we saw significant struggles with EMS in the Valley. And, the backbone of EMS here has been our volunteer EMTs and first responders for many years. And we're so grateful for the work that they have done. However, in 2022, we started to recognize that, hey, this model is no longer working, and we have to do something to help change that. So we actually worked with the towns of Alpine, Thane, and Star Valley Ranch, and we signed an asset transfer agreement with them. As part of that asset transfer agreement, we agreed to provide EMS services for the entire Valley. And since that time, we've made good faith efforts to do that. One of the things that people have brought up as a question is, do you still have service in Thane? And there's some confusion about this because we did make some staffing changes in Thane. And the way we are staffing that now is we are actually moving our EMS supervisor, who is a critical care paramedic, to the Thane service. And that individual will be supported by EMTs in the peak months, as well as EMTs from Afton and Alpine throughout the rest of the year. So we still have service there. And I would just say that, echo what Dan says about our providers. We have some of the most talented critical care paramedics and paramedics and EMTs, I would say, in the state. They're very good at what they do. And they're passionate about providing care to our valley, and we're so grateful for them. We're grateful for the work that they've done, and we're grateful for the towns for respecting us enough to and trusting us enough to put the care of their communities in our hands, and we are remaining vigilant at keeping the contract in place and honoring that contract. So I'll turn it over to Mike or Dr. Kirk if they have anything else to add to that.
This is Mike Hunsaker. I guess maybe I could add just maybe a little bit of a historical perspective for EMS in Star Valley. There was a point in time not too many years ago we had three services, and coordinating between the towns and the communities was difficult at best. With the leadership of Mr. Ordina and others in our organization, we met with the towns and worked out an agreement to provide a more stable service rather than having to depend on volunteers who may or may not be available to help at any given moment. And we're really proud of the service we offer to the communities. And I know that there are hospitals in the local area within not too far driving distance, they're always asking us for help because they are struggling with EMS too. So I think that we have a service we can be proud of and know that that's a commitment to our community. That's really the mission of Star Valley Health. We can't get people to the hospital unless we have an ambulance that can transport them, and we know that's part of our mission, and we are committed to that mission.
Thank you so much, everyone. We're going to go ahead and move on to our third question, and this is going to come in from Melinda. Although, just a reminder here, if you have a question to submit, press 0. If you want to get email updates from Star Valley Health moving forward, press 7 on your phone. And that also goes for if you need one of our phone numbers for the billing department, the quality of care department, or the scheduling department, you can press 7 to get that phone number from any of our operators. Melinda has this one for us, Dan. She's asking, what are you doing to correct billing issues and providing a telephone number for both hospital and billing where you're able to get in touch with someone? That one comes from Melinda.
Yeah, that's a great question. Scott Graham, our CFO, would you be able to field that one?
You bet. Thank you. This is Scott Graham. I would like to just say we have on-site our teams, local teams, that take calls each and every day, as well as a team of operators from a partner firm that we have engaged the last couple of months to answer questions and take payments, et cetera, from our patients as they call in. And if you have a question and don't directly connect with somebody, if you leave a message, we strive to get back to our patients within a business day. The number is 307-885-5995, and it's either option 3 or 4 to get an operator or someone in the billing department that can help you. There's an 866-641-1039 number as well. So those are the direct numbers that can get you to the people that you need to talk to as quickly as possible. And again, we strive to get back with you if you have to leave a message. within about a business day. We're doing a lot of things to correct obvious issues with our new billing system that relates to our electronic medical record that was implemented just over 18 months ago. Those issues are not gone away. They're reducing in number, but we are well aware of them and trying to work them down and complete and the process of a great billing system. But we're a little bit ways away from doing that, but we're working hard to do that.
All righty. Anybody else want to take on Melinda's question before we move on? Got a live question coming up here. A lot of these questions we've been taking have been pre-submitted or somebody wasn't comfortable going live, but we're going to go to Ryan in Aetna Live next year. Ryan, welcome to the forum. What's your question for us?
Yeah, first, thanks to the gentleman in the room for making yourself available to the community. I have two questions. One is, so we've heard about the unfortunate staff reductions and reductions in services and some of the issues that are impacting Star Valley Health lower level employees. I'm curious to know, how is leadership taking accountability for this issue? And my second question is, Star Valley Health collects the $3 million, they've requested and collected $3 million of property tax from the county for the last however many years, which last year accounted for about $2 million of Star Valley's budget. I'd like to know why the hospital thinks it would be justified in continuing to receive property tax money if it can't be a good steward of that money. Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Ryan. First and foremost, when we took on EMS, we knew that that was going to be a shortfall for the organization, and so we view, it costs more than $2 million to run EMS. And so we're even subsidizing that. The $2 million represents a really small percentage of our total revenue. We're appreciative of the tax dollars, and we want to be good stewards of those tax dollars. In fact, property taxes have been the talk of the towns all throughout Wyoming, to the point that legislation has been put in place to reduce the mills. And so next year, starting July 1, we're anticipating that $2 million to go to $1.2 million. And so we have some headwinds even there. So as we try to provide all these essential services to the communities that we serve, it becomes essential to start to do the math. We're now going to have to figure out how to pay for an additional $800,000 that we're not going to receive. And there's other organizations, entities, government entities that do rely on the mill levy for their budgets, and they're going to have the same concerns about what are they going to do. And so all of this is about being, again, good stewards of this community asset and trying to be proactive to address the headwinds that we know are coming and that are currently here. So when we make decisions, that this goes to the first part of your question, is how we're holding ourselves accountable. Our first decisions have been to, at all costs, try to save jobs. I mentioned in my introductory remarks that we have added 200 jobs. Now, with the latest action plans that we put in place, there have been 6 positions that we have eliminated. And so I want to put things in perspective, is as we try to manage this growth, there are going to be challenges. And there are going to be some of our neighbors that are impacted by these challenges, and we recognize that. But we are doing everything we possibly can to make sure that essential services are provided, more services are provided so people don't have to travel outside the valley. And we're doing that with some just exceptional talent that we have brought to the area, not just this valley, but all up and down western Wyoming. And I know that there's a lot of small communities that appreciate our outreach and appreciate that we're delivering something to them where they can have access to more local care. We did make a decision to just temporarily freeze the retirement, that our contribution to the retirement. We don't expect that that's going to be forever, and we have told the employees that that we're going to restore that as soon as we possibly can. How we're holding ourselves accountable to that is I'm included in that. And every administrator, every doctor, this impacts everybody at Star Valley Health. And so by trying to, again, like you mentioned, trying to be transparent, part of transparency is that accountability. Is we recognize that there's going to be people that don't have all the facts. They're going to disagree. They're going to form opinions. And what we're trying to do is avail ourselves to those opinions and those comments and those questions and address them. And so we know that as decision makers, we're going to be held accountable on everything. When you make really good decisions and things work out, you know, it's a wonderful time. And like I mentioned in my opening comments, this is the first time that Star Valley Health has hit these headwinds that are very real headwinds and are very real challenges that Star Valley Health is not the only ones that only hospital, rural hospital that is facing some of these challenges. I invite any community member to talk to any hospital anywhere in the country, and they will share with you that there are significant staff reductions, there are significant benefit reductions, there's big concerns about Medicaid reductions and the reimbursement. So I completely understand the concerns of the communities that we serve, but what we're trying to do is trying to make sure that there's a sustainable pathway for us to remain independent and provide these just exceptional services by exceptional talented people for the foreseeable future.
Thank you so much, Dan. Really appreciate that. And, of course, we appreciate you, Ryan and Aetna, for being a part of our forum. Thank you for your question. And we're going to go to another live caller next here, although Victoria in Alpine has asked me to read this question for her. Again, happy to do that. Victoria, you're asking, is it true that the urgent care in Alpine is closing? Who can take on this concern for Victoria?
Thank you, Victoria, for your question. I'd like to just point that to Jeremy Price.
Hi, Victoria. My name is Jeremy Price, and I'm the Vice President of Medical Group and Hospital Ancillary Operations. I appreciate the question. We still have urgent care in Alpine. We've made a change to the hours we offer. It used to be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sunday through Friday. Beginning this week, our offering is from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. As our summer progresses, we'll continue to watch the volumes that come in through our new ER there and through our urgent care to help inform us of our future decisions related to the hours we'll offer for urgent care. So that's where we're at.
Got it. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Victoria from Alpine. Thanks for your question. A quick reminder here, if you need any of those phone numbers that we mentioned a little bit ago, either for the billing department or the quality of care department or for the scheduling department, press 7, speak to one of our operators, let them know what phone number you're missing so they can get that to you. You can also, of course, press 7 to get email updates from Star Valley Health, and you can still press 0 to submit a question for our Q&A. We're going to go to Jennifer next. Jennifer is another one of our web registrants who submitted this in advance. She's asking, why have hospital costs gone up? Where can we start for that one, Dan? It's from Jennifer.
Well, I will attempt to address this. Now, there is not enough time that we have today, and you know, I hope that our listeners can bear with me as I try to provide some context to the cost of healthcare and charges and how expensive things are and why is Star Valley Health so much more expensive than others. And I noticed that there are a lot of questions and concerns about this. And so bear with me. I'm going to do my very best to break this down into some understandable parts without getting too lost in the weeds. I think the important thing for people to first know is point number one is that each hospital in the United States has a charge master. It's a list of prices for every service and item, and that hospital sets their own prices. This charge master, hospital charge master, it was introduced in 1983, so 42 years ago. And what has happened is over those 42 years, hospitals have increased charges almost every single year, to the point where patients will get a bill and they'll see that a Tylenol pill is being billed for $200. And there's this shock factor, this sticker price shock of, are you kidding me? I am paying for a $200 pill at the hospital. And that happens all the time. It happens with MRIs. It happens with labs. It happens with surgery costs. It happens with a hospital stay and NICU visits. You're going to see these thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars of these charges on these bills. And the reason being is because of this 42-year-old implementation of trying to it was driven by Medicare and what's called a prospective payment system. Now, I'm not going to go into that detail, but if you have insurance, your plan negotiates lower rates with the hospital. So the insurance companies know of these astronomical charges, and what they do is they negotiate with physicians and hospitals and other healthcare providers a lower rate, and you typically pay a copay, coinsurance or deductible that your employer has negotiated with the insurance companies. And the difference between the hospital charges and what the insurance covers is the key reason healthcare feels expensive for everybody. Now, I will readily admit that inflated hospital charges do contribute to the rising healthcare costs in the healthcare delivery system. But hospitals and doctors are only a fraction in the overall cost equation for everybody that's paying for it in the country. When you consider the pharmacy, the pharmaceutical industry, the high costs to acquire, and maintain the cutting edge technology like MRIs and the equipment in operating rooms, and when you consider the medical malpractice and legal expenses, when you consider the high regulatory and compliance costs from federal and state governments, the medical insurance companies, billing and administrative costs, and then the rise in the chronic disease management for very sick patients and the baby boomer population that's adding 10,000 new Medicare recipients every single day. When you combine all of that, that is the frustration that a lot of Americans have. And again, I know that, because we are the face of healthcare in our community, we get the brunt of that. And some of it is deserved. But I think that the community needs to understand that we do have and share part of the problem, but we're we're still trying to figure out ways how we can navigate in this world that we're required to have this charge master. How do we make things affordable for our community members? Now, prices, because of this, prices are going to vary widely between hospitals and physicians, even in the same area. And they're not always tied to quality outcomes or what you actually pay out of your pocket. Hospitals like ours are required to disclose their charge master. And so you can today look up and compare a particular billing item on our website. And because hospitals set their own charges, some of our charges will be higher than other facilities. Some are about the same, and some are actually lower than other facilities in the region. Now, remember, for those of you with health insurance, charges don't represent the true cost to you or the true cost to the hospital providing various services. For example, right now, Star Valley Health charges $240 for an established adult patient office visit at any one of our primary care offices, whereas the same office visit will be charged $10 more, or $250, in a Jackson Hole clinic. Now, likewise, we will charge $218 for an initial clinic visit for a child between the ages of 5 and 11 years old for $218. And a Jackson Hole physician will charge $205. So the misunderstanding that occurs in the general public is to conclude that Jackson Hole is more expensive for an adult's established office visit, but Star Valley Health is more expensive for a new child visit. The important thing to remember is that the term more expensive is not determined by the charges on your bill. When you see the bill of charges, it can just, again, that sticker shock, it can be outrageous. Rather, it is determined, so expensive is determined by the contract negotiated between your insurance company and your employer, and the contract negotiated between your insurance company and Star Valley Health. These contracts determine your annual deductible amount and your ongoing coinsurance amount after your deductible is met. I will also readily admit that there are freestanding places, freestanding services where businesses have said, you know what, the only thing that we're going to provide is MRIs and CTs, and that's a segment of the business that we're going to do, and what we're going to do is we're going to offer it at a lower cost. There are places for surgery centers and other procedures, freestanding labs. Those locations will always be a lower cost setting compared to hospitals that have to maintain EMS services or OB services or an emergency room or a nursing home. These services are an essential component to providing good health care to a community. And we want to earn your business, and we want to work with every single one of our patients to try to help them understand what really is their out-of-pocket expenses and what we can do to minimize those if at all possible. So, in short, I think that the biggest takeaway is, and just to recap this, is one, hospitals set their own prices. Two, contracts between your, insurance companies, your employers, and the contracts between your insurance company and our hospital, it impacts what you pay. High charges can drive up costs, but represent only a portion of overall healthcare costs. And then there's the wide variation in charges between all these different providers that it doesn't represent an accurate picture of what really expensive is for the patient, and as well as what it truly costs the providers to again provide those services. And so, you know, the charges are the building blocks of the healthcare billing system that was started back in 1983, but the system's complexity, the marked up prices, the insurance negotiation, and the lack of transparency, it all of that makes it hard to navigate. And so my recommendation to anyone on the call is, yes, shop around. We know that it is difficult to pay for healthcare costs. In my opening statement, I said to you that our own hospital system, our own healthcare system, has seen a 50% increase in 1 year, $4 million. And because we don't provide all the services here at this critical access hospital, people have to go to Utah and Idaho, and they have to have access to other drugs that we don't offer, or specialties that we don't offer. And because we're self-insured, we have to foot that bill. So we are victims of the healthcare industry, even though we're in the healthcare industry. And the biggest thing that I would recommend is talk to your insurance company. After you shop around, after you do your homework, call your insurance company, and especially call us. We may not be able to just immediately get back to you. We want to leave us a message, but we really do want to help you understand that charges don't represent really the cost of healthcare, or it shouldn't be attributed to how expensive healthcare is. So I know there's much, much more that we could probably talk about with this topic. I hope that I didn't bore people with this explanation, but I'm trying to help people understand as best as I possibly can of why we have a complex healthcare delivery system, and why people are frustrated with healthcare in general, and why sometimes that frustration is pointed at Star Valley Health.
Thank you so much, Dan. Really appreciate you taking on that question. And we are going to go kind of a little bit backwards to a question we received earlier. We were talking about the Alpine facility. Teresa in Mountain View, I'm seeing you have a concern that you might have to go to Afton for care, but the Alpine facility is not closing. We're going to reiterate those new hours, and the emergency department is still going to be open 24/7 for you. So we'll go over that again in just a moment here, but I wanted to bring in another question on the Alpine facility here from Susan, who's asking, what impact has the new Alpine facility, family practice, UC, ER, OR, and cardiac lab had on the overall financial picture? Is it helping or hindering the overall financial health of Star Valley Health, and is it being fully utilized? So where can we start there? Do we want to start with just reiterating those new hours for the Alpine Clinic, and then maybe move into how that Alpine facility factors into the overall financial picture?
Yeah, Jeremy, just why don't you reiterate the hours and, you know, the access to the emergency room, obviously, that the community hasn't had available until, you know, this past January, and then I'll talk about the, you know, whether it's helping or hurting.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Dan. This is Jeremy Price again. So the urgent care in Alpine is open from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. In addition to that, we, like Dan just said, we have our new emergency department there that is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
And you know, similar to what I shared with the, you know, in my opening statement, is everybody that has run a business or opened a business or opened a different location, the pro forma of any new location normally has losses that the organization is going to have to absorb we plan for those losses. Sometimes you get it right and sometimes you get it wrong. And sometimes there are things that you're able to anticipate, and some things that are just a curveball as a business owner or as a manager of business that you just don't expect. And so, like any good business owner, you just have to make adjustments, and you have to make decisions to try to figure out, okay, well, you know, how do I deal with this, and how do we make sure that we pivot so that these services or these products are still accessible and they're sustainable. So right now, it is not helping our financial situation. But with the services that we are providing right now, we know that Alpine and that area is going to grow over the years, and there's going to be more and more demand for services that we can provide, and so eventually there comes a break-even point, and where you're not making any money, but you're not losing any money, and you know, our break-even point for that facility is about 24 months, and so we know that we've got to continue to provide those services at a loss and absorb those losses elsewhere, but we feel like for the long term that part of the county, that part of the valley is going to desperately need those additional services as they grow. And we feel good about the emergency room being there. It used to be that people had to travel all the way to Jackson or Idaho Falls or even down to Afton. And that still may be the case depending on the severity of the emergency room visit. But we have emergency room trained physicians that can optimize clinically the outcomes that every patient that walks through the door needs and expects. And so I'm very bullish on you know, that facility being able to be a help down the road, but for the short term we are going to need to support it financially.
Got it. Thank you so much. Appreciate that question from Teresa and from Susan. We're going to go right to Lindsay next here, who's asking, will there be further layoffs? Dan, can you take that on, please, for Lindsay?
Yeah, like I mentioned before, our primary focus is to avoid at all costs layoffs. We're in a growing market. We have recruited talented people. We know that we have created some anxiety with our own staff and with community members that are talking and trying to, you know, fill in the gaps of the information that they don't have. I think it would be disingenuous if I were to say, oh, don't worry, we're never going to have layoffs. I think that that would be management malpractice. And you know, our number one cost is labor. It represents 65% of our overall budget, and we're talking in the millions of dollars. But Star Valley Health, if anybody that's been doing this long enough, Star Valley Health, and myself, we know that the secret sauce to good healthcare is not the equipment or the brick and mortar or the locations. It's the people. And I have said that over and over again. So I genuinely feel like we have to do everything we can to support our people, and we have. We, over the last several years, when things were going well, we have provided some amazing compensation and good paying jobs to people that are working in Western Wyoming. So I know that at the end of the day, the magic of good healthcare are our people, and we want to do everything we possibly can to avoid losing this good talent, which is very difficult to recruit in a very expensive area with very little housing, and so I recognize that we're trying to thread that needle and walk that fine balance with managing this rural hospital.
All right, thank you so much. And it looks like we might have had some new callers join us. A reminder here of how you can participate tonight. We've got some questions still lined up to take for the remainder of our call, but we'll gladly take more. If you have one to submit, press 0 to get it to an operator. We'd also like to keep you better updated moving forward. If you want email updates from Star Valley Health in the future, press 7. If you need the phone number for the billing department, for the quality of care department, or the scheduling department, you can press 7 for that. And if you need the hours of one of our locations and you're having trouble finding that information, you can press 7 for that as well before we get to the end of our call. So let's go ahead and go to our next question. This one comes from Terry, who's asking, is it a fact or misinformation that you've been paying $4,000 a month to rent a conference room above the Swirl? Who wants to take this question on from Terry?
Yeah, let's have, you know, Scott Graham is involved with this one, and so let's let Scott speak to it.
Thank you. Thanks again for the question, and I'm real sorry for the misinformation. I am a part owner in that building on the corner of Washington and 4th Avenue, where me and other partners have three apartments that are on the second floor of that retail shop. And from time to time, visitors that come to the hospital from out of town will elect to rent the apartments on a daily basis, but there is no monthly rent paid by the hospital. And for the most part, the visitors who arrange to stay there in their visits here pay for their own lodging. So I'm sorry for the misinformation, but we do not have any kind of a commitment at all between the organizations. And we'll note that there are certain occasions where the hospital does put somebody up in a recruiting visit or somebody visiting from out of town at the hospital, and we give them a daily rate, my partners and I, that is significantly discounted for the hospital compared to other lodging in the area. And that those amounts are disclosed and reviewed by our external auditors and disclosed in our financial statements as related party transactions, although relatively insignificant in total scheme things. I hope that clarifies that for you. We don't have a conference room on the second floor, just some apartments.
Yeah, and I might add that, you know, what I've learned being in you know, the size of the communities that we have is there's conflicts of interest. It happens all the time, you know, with business transactions. And so we have a policy about conflicts of interest that those – it's not that conflicts of interest are bad. They just need to be disclosed. And so, you know, Scott, having the high integrity that he does, he let me know. He disclosed it. It's been reported to auditors. And now I understand that the optics for some people that may not understand our conflict of interest policy or that conflict of interest, I've learned that in the Valley that everybody's related and everybody, you know, has some type of a business that might be doing business with us as a hospital. And so really what we try to do is we try to be transparent about that, acknowledge the conflict, and in some cases we do have to, you know, remove ourselves from that conflict, or people have to remove because that conflict is too, you know, it's too significant. Board members, they have several times during board meetings have acknowledged that they're conflicted with a particular decision. We have rules of you know, removing people that could have a decision made that do have a conflict that has been disclosed. And so every organization that I've been part of does have a conflict of interest policy. We acknowledge that every year with leadership, and that's really the approach that we take when it, you know, it could be viewed as a self-serving transaction.
Got it. Excellent. Thank you again. I appreciate the question from Terry. We're going to go to a question coming to us from Janice on the phones next, but she has asked me to read it. Janice is joining us from Thane and says, in the summer, there are thousands in the RV parks. How will we maintain the EMS services during those busy summer months? Where should we go for this answer for Janice from Thane?
Well, I'll defer to Trevor, but you know, just as a primer we feel very good about the staffing levels that we have to respond when we need to respond. There are going to be times like there have in the past, even before Star Valley Health took over EMS, where there wasn't responses, and we feel like we do a very good job of responding not just to the calls but doing it in a very timely manner. And there is the concern we monitor things on a daily basis, and if we're seeing that there is a significant issue with patient safety or patient care, we will make the necessary adjustments to minimize that and eliminate it. And so if it is something that we feel we're not able to, you know, manage the volumes during the summer months, you better believe that we're going to do everything we possibly can to make sure that good, safe care is accessible to the Valley. Trevor, you want to add anything to that?
No, that's exactly right, Dan. I guess I will just add that I'm actually meeting on an ongoing basis with our EMS supervisors. You know, those guys are the ones that are in the trenches, and they, on a daily basis, know exactly where we're at. And I plan to take their feedback and work very closely with them and also with the ERs and our physicians in the ERs. And they know, you know, the challenges. They deal with it on a daily basis. And, you know, I have to rely on them for good information on where we have shortfalls. And if we have to adjust, like Dan said, we'll do just that.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate you again, gentlemen. And I wanted to give a shout-out here to Teresa in Mountain View. I think we misunderstood your question before, and I apologize for that. What we're going to have Jeremy Price do, he's our VP of Medical Group and Ancillary Services. He's going to call you up, and we've got your phone number, your question. He's going to give you a call directly to help work through your issue to make sure that we're giving a quality answer and that we understand what you're asking about. So Teresa in Mountain View, we've got you flagged for a follow-up from Jeremy. He'll be giving you a call. We're going to get to our next question here from Sandra, who's asking, if you pay cash for a service, is there a discount, and how much is that discount? Who can take on this question from Sandra?
I'll let Scott Graham handle that one.
Hey, the big answer and the quick answer is yes. We do offer our patients what we call paid-in-full discounts, cash paid-in-full discounts at the And at this time, we have a 25% across-the-board paid-in-full discounts. If a patient's uninsured, however, that discount increases to 30% plus, regardless of whether it's paid in full. So we have generous discounts for those who also may be facing significant hardships, financial hardships, and we are here to help, listen, and try to provide a way where these obligations can be met for our patients. So hope that helps. But, yes, we do have a good discount at this time.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, Sandra. And we've got just one more question here, and we're about out of time in our hour, so I'm going to use it to kind of help us wrap up here. And I'm going to start that by telling everyone that if you did have a question or concern that we weren't able to address in the time that we had with you tonight, stay on the line as we wrap up here. You'll be able to go to our voicemail system and leave us a message with any additional thoughts, questions, concerns, anything you need help with. And if you need somebody from Star Valley to follow up with you, make sure you leave your name and your phone number when you leave that message. And again, you can do that just by staying on the line as we wrap up in just a few minutes here. But Dan, I've got one more question from you coming to us from Nancy. And it's kind of an open-ended question, and maybe it'll help us to kind of to wrap up our forum tonight. She's asking, what is the future of Star Valley Healthcare? Can you take that on, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up our call?
Well, we believe it's bright, very bright, but that brightness is dimmed sometimes by some of the headwinds that we control and sometimes we don't control. Independent critical access hospitals are becoming more and more of a dinosaur. And the reason being is healthcare, to provide healthcare on a consistent basis and to have the services that you need and to pay for those services 24/7, when you need something, it is hard to sustain. What I've learned about healthcare is when you need it for you and your family members, you love us. But when you see how much it costs, then that love starts to dim a little bit, and it is a challenge without question. That every hospital in the country is having to address and having to face is we recognize and know that our employees, the community members, healthcare is so unbelievably expensive. And I want you to know that we don't blame anybody for our problems. If that has been construed by either myself or somebody in the organization, please accept my sincere apology. This is not the community's problem. We're in this together. And as you support Star Valley Health, we want to support you. And we know that we need to be here for you and your kids and your grandkids. And the journey that Star Valley Health has had over decades in the Valley is absolutely amazing, and we want to continue that legacy. But I will say that there are significant challenges for our facility and every facility that is in rural in nature and trying to do this on their own. And we want the community to understand that. We want the communities to know that, you know, Evanston Regional, they just this past year they eliminated OB services. I know that South Lincoln Hospital has reduced services, and we're trying to grow services, and we're trying to not necessarily be all things to all people, but we want to be here for you for the foreseeable future. And my role as a CEO is to figure out how to make that sustainable. And I have held positions in various hospitals, big ones, medium-sized ones. This is the smallest one that I have been part of. And I will tell you from my experience, this is the most challenging role that I have ever had. Because of its independent nature and because of the rural nature and because of where the cost of healthcare is right now in my career. And it's not an excuse. It's just I'm just trying to provide a good blend of optimism with reality, that together with our community members, we need to give each other some grace. And we need to recognize that our success is your success and your success is our success, and if anybody has any concerns, my feeling is the right way to approach this is just come talk to me, come talk to our team members, if you have strong concerns or you have come to a conclusion that we're doing something that is is wrong and is not aligned with you know, what we should be about, the right thing to do is to have a face-to-face meeting and to have that discussion. So I invite everybody on the call to, you know, we need to be kind with each other, and we need to be able to respect each other's opinions. You can be very understanding and compassionate even when you disagree, and certainly the environment out in the country right now doesn't adopt that line of thinking, but that's who I am, and that's how I approach problems. That's how I approach all my relationships. I want to be upfront with people, but I also know that not everybody's going to agree with me, but that doesn't make me disagreeable. I really respect and cherish the opinions of others, and so we want to thank you so much for participating in this call. And again, we want to have more of these to be able to address questions, concerns. We know that we've just scratched the surface on people's concerns, but we're gonna do our very best to do this again.
Thank you so much for that, Dan. And I did want to, for anybody who wants to register for these events moving forward, you can sign up for these telephone town halls with Star Valley Health. You can get to the web registration page by going to tthm.com/Star Valley. Again, tthm.com/Star Valley if you want to sign up for future events and pre-submit questions for future events. And I also wanted to mention this call is being recorded. In a couple days, you'll be able to listen to this recording of this event at starvalleyhealth.org at the website, and you can share it with your family, friends, or neighbors who might not have been able to join this call. Again, that website is starvalleyhealth.org. And we didn't have a lot of questions for Dr. Don Kirk, our Chief Medical Officer, and I know you had some thoughts you wanted to share, Doctor, before we get to the end here. I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. This is Dr. Donald Kirk, the Chief Medical Officer at Star Valley Health. I wanted to piggyback onto what Dan had just covered in regard to what's the future of Star Valley Health. We have heard some rumors that people are saying that Star Valley Health is going to sell to a bigger healthcare organization, or that we're going to have another healthcare system manage us. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. And as Dan said, we are vibrant. We are not dying. We are having to do a lot of evaluation on the services that we provide, figure out how we can do those better as we always have. Continue to provide high-quality care as we always have, and do it more efficiently. And that's what it comes down to. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Doctor. And, again, thanks to all of the executive team who joined us here tonight, Jeremy Price, our VP of the Medical Group and Ancillary Services, Scott Graham, our Chief Financial Officer, Dr. Donald Kirk, our Chief Medical Officer. We have Tori Probst on the line, our Chief Nursing Officer, along with Trevor Merritt, the VP of HR and Support Services, and Mike Hunsaker, our Chief Operating Officer and VP of Business Development, and, of course, our CEO, Dan Ordina, who is on taking on so many of these questions. So appreciate all of them, and, of course, we appreciate those of you who stuck with us for this last hour and 10 minutes. Really appreciate everybody's questions and participation. If you do need to leave a comment, question, concern, anything else you need help with from Star Valley Health, stay on the line here. As we close out the call, you'll go to our voicemail system. You can leave any message you'd like there. Just know that if you want to call back from Star Valley Health, you need to leave your name and your phone number so we know where to reach out to. We did have a couple of you flagged for follow-up, And we'll be having someone from Star Valley reach out. As mentioned a little bit earlier, we have Teresa getting follow-up along with Jewel and Afton. We see your question. We'll have someone call you. Thanks again, folks. We'll send you to that voicemail system now. We appreciate your time tonight. Be well. Have a great evening.